One day, maybe years from now, you're going to tell a story about this season in life. Maybe you'll tell a story you're proud of. Maybe you won't. Because sometimes you have to keep going when you'd rather give up. Sometimes you have to stay when you'd rather leave. My story, I decided to stay.
For those of you that don't know, that was a typewriter. How many of you remember the typewriter? Well, there was a blonde, a redhead, and a brunette, Tim. And they're lost in the middle of the desert. We're not sure how they got there, but they end up in the middle of a desert. And they find a genie lamp. And they rub it, and this genie appears and says, I'm going to give each of you a wish. So three wishes, one of you, each of you get one wish. Redhead goes, easy. I want to be home with my family. Poof! She's gone. Brunette goes, I want to be home with my family. Poof! She's gone. The blonde goes, aww. I want my friends back. Now you should have saw that coming, right? You should have saw that coming. And that's really what part of this series, mini-series, has been about. The decisions we make today determine the story we're going to tell tomorrow. So 2 weeks ago, we made a decision. We're making four decisions with this series. I asked you to start something. So 2 weeks ago, I decided to start a good habit, something positive that's going to give positive momentum to all the other choices I make in life. How many of you started something? Yeah, give yourselves a hand. Look at you. All right. Last week, sometimes there's things in life, you know, God, what do you want my story to be that I do that kind of hinder that story? And so I said, don't pick 12 or 7. Just pick one thing to stop. Stop something. How many of you stopped something last week as well? Oh, they're dropping like flies. Hanging in there. Come on now. Change your life, change your story. So we started something, we stopped something, and this week, we decide to stay. Last week, next week, we're going to finish up with, I decided to go. But today, I decided to stay. Most of you have heard my K-State story. Those of you that don't, I'll just give you the short version. I are a graduate of Kansas State University. Hallelujah! Go purple! Purple angers some people. Amen. But there I was. I started at Dodge City Community College, ran track and cross country there, then went to Kansas State University. And my first year at K-State, I didn't know you had to study. Because I never had to before. In fact, I thought going to college at K-State, you were supposed to go to Aggieville every night, right? And so instead of studying, I was going to Aggieville. And so at the end of my first semester, I do get a little note in the mail that says, hey, slacker, you need to quit acting like a KU student. And now they're waking up. Or we're going to kick you out of here, right? What did I do with that note? They wouldn't do that to me, right? End of my second semester, end of my first year, I get a call from my mother who's crying on the other end of the line. She says, son, we just got your report card. I'm like, ooh. I thought that was supposed to come to me, right? It's not just the grades that bother us. It's what it says at the bottom. It says expelled. Can you believe K-State kicked me out of college? Well, they did. I was expelled. And there I was left with a decision. Now, to be academically expelled from Kansas State University, you had to wait a year before you could even go back and reapply. So I'm looking at, I got the next 365 days on my hands to do what? Right? This was a difficult time, I won't lie. That was one of the most difficult times in my life. I wanted to just pack up and go home. I was going to farm anyway. Just speed up the process. Forget school. Gave it a shot. Let's go home and farm. But before I did anything else, I went for a run. And on that run, Jesus said, Curtis, there's nothing that you've done so far that can't be undone if you'll seek me first and start taking life serious. Okay. And some of you know that story. I went to my advisor. I apologized. I said I blew it. He tried to give me an out. Was that a reason? Was that a girl involved? Right? Dr. Frank Rosen. God bless you, Dr. Rosen. Production economics. Loved it. Anyway, took it twice. I loved it so much. Amen. He said, was there a girl? Messed your head up. I go, nope. Nope. It was my fault. I took total responsibility for it. Says, okay, we'll go to the academic board. I'll go to bat for you. So I had to go face a panel of other professors. Tell them the same story. I'm sorry. I messed up. I blew my opportunities. I made bad decisions. But I want to stay. If you'll reinstate me, I will give 100%. I'll work harder than anybody else on this campus. I went and waited in the hall. That's one of those long times, you know. And Dr. Rosen comes out, and really his first words are, don't let me down. Because he went to bat for me. He says, I believe in him. He's just made some bad mistakes. But there was a point in my life where it would have been easier to go than it was to stay. Because I really had to humble myself. I had to apologize. I had to do a life check and a priority check. And I had to go in front of some people that were pretty intimidating. But at the end of that process, I was on the national dean's list before I graduated. Who's who? Outstanding Young Men of America. And you know, last week's story, who did I meet there at K-State? My beautiful wife. Not in Aggieville. The one time I didn't go, went someplace else, I found my beautiful wife. What I would have missed if I hadn't stayed. And so this morning, I want you to really begin to think and pray as I go through this short message. Where in your life is God wanting you to stay? Where does God want you to stay? The whole thesis for this message series has been the decisions we make today determine the story we're going to tell tomorrow. And so we're excited to start, stop. Today we're going to stay. What does God want me to want? How do I tell a story that God wants me to tell? Well, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 anyway, says, if we fix our eyes on Jesus, and who is Jesus? The author and perfecter of our faith. Jesus says, I'll write that story for you. I'll write that script. I want to do life with you. And so I begin to fix my life on Jesus instead of just myself and what I want. God, what do you want? And I make my decisions based upon that. And what an incredible difference it makes in our lives when we start living God's will for our lives instead of our will. Just say it with me. Have thine own way. Self. Ooh, did you see that coming? You better stay awake. Right? I do that a lot. Have thine own way, self. Have thine own way. There's Noah's donuts. And a Diet Pepsi today. Right? No, it's have thine own way, Lord. So today I decided to say, and one really cool example, and there's a bunch of them in Scripture. Jeff alluded to in the communion meditation. is the story of Ruth. And I'll just highlight that real quick in the Bible. Chapter 1, verses 9 and following. Story of Ruth. Elimelech and his wife Naomi have two sons. There's a famine in Bethlehem, so they go down to Moab because there's work and there's food there. While they're there, their two sons marry Moabite women. Not Oprah, but Orpah, who I understand she's named after, but they spelled it wrong. I don't know if that's a true story or not, but I've heard that story. I don't know. And Ruth. Well, Elimelech dies, and then their two sons die. And so Naomi is left with her two daughter-in-laws, Orpah and Ruth. And she decides it's time to go back to the land of Bethlehem. And so she tells Ruth and Orpah, go back home. There's nothing here for you. Go back to your people. Go back to your homeland. Maybe you'll find a husband there. Just go back. Orpah goes, sounds good to me. She leaves. But Ruth says these words. Naomi said to her two daughters, go, return each of you to your own home. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with me. May the Lord grant to you and may you find rest. And so they're going to go back, and Naomi goes, and Orpah leaves. But Ruth says, chapter 2 now. Jeff read earlier today, chapter 2. Find these words. All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband have been reported to me. Ruth says to Naomi, where you go, I will go. Your people shall be my people, and your God shall be. And so Ruth says to Naomi, I ain't quitting you. I'm going to stay with you. So they travel back to Bethlehem. Ruth begins to work in the field. She's basically lower than a slave. She's just out there picking grain. And whatever's left at the end of the day, they get to eat for food. That's sort of how desolate they were at that time. She's a single woman. She's a beautiful woman. And she has no man to protect her. She's actually in great peril out there working in the fields as well. But the owner of the field takes notice of her. Who is that Moabitess out there? That's Ruth. And Boaz hears about Ruth's story. So I want you to protect her. Don't you lay a hand on her. All right? You mess with her, you're messing with me. You leave her alone. You protect her. In fact, leave a little extra grain at the end of the day in her area. She can take it home to her mother-in-law, Naomi. Now, I like what it says in chapter 2, verses 11 and following. Boaz speaks these words now. Before I read it, I got to build it up just a little bit more. How is it that a no-name Moabite woman gets the attention of one of the studliest studs of the land, Boaz? How does that happen? Huh? Wives, can you answer that? Right now, look at your husband and say, how did I end up with you? Just look at your husband and go, I wasn't worthy. I'm not worthy. Come on, help me preach this. Somebody help me preach this. It'll go the other way next week. You know that. Man, need a little building up today. All right? All right. So how does a Ruth end up with a Boaz? And I love this statement. Boaz says to her, all that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me. That's the fill in the blank on your outline. How does Ruth get a Boaz? He had heard her story. He had heard her story. she decided to stay, how she remained faithful to Naomi, how she left her people, her land, to serve Naomi, her people, and her God. Just your God should be my God. He has heard her story. I don't know if you know this, but did you know people tell stories about you all the time? They do. There's people that leave here on Sunday mornings and they go to lunch and what do they talk about? What? No. Talk about the preacher? Lord forbid. He had purple on. Amen. But you know people talk about you too? What kind of story do they tell? You see, the decisions we make today determine the story we tell tomorrow and the stories that other people are going to tell about us. And if it's one that's been Christ-honoring and filled with glory and grace, people are going to hear you. I've heard about you. Woo! Pleasure to meet you, brother. You really love the Lord, know the Scriptures. It's awesome. Did you know that about this? He does. Your stories about this guy? And y'all laugh. See what I'm talking about? I don't have to do anymore. Right there. Story. Boaz says, I've heard your story. And so she comes under his protection. And to make even more of that story shorter now, basically Ruth becomes his wife. Not only that, the child they have is Obed. And Obed is the father of Jesse. Oh, wow. Whoopee! And Jesse was the father of David. And David was the king of Israel, to whom the Lord spoke, of your kingdom there shall be no end. Your seed shall come. In other words, it was part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Did you check this out? A Moabite slave girl marries the hunk of the land, all right, becomes in the lineage to Jesus Christ and is one of two women to have a book named after her in the Bible. Who's the other one? Esther. Very good, Esther. Ruth, did you know that? Well, why? Simply because she decided to stay when it would have been easier to go. Looking back on my life, I'm glad I stayed and faced the Piper and finished K-State so that I could continue my education even more after that. I look at different people that I've known throughout my life and I still go back to the old running days. And I still remember David Timms and Bo Johnson. Steve Timms ran track with me at Dodge City Community College. He was faster than me. I know it's hard to believe, but he was faster than me. But if he wasn't winning a race, you know what he would do sometimes? Walk off the track and not finish. He didn't finish. I go like, ah! So he could have got fifth or sixth and got us a point. You know what I'm saying? Ah! Just not feeling today. Just walks off the track. Bo Johnson? Back in high school. Just 5 years ago. Anyway, back in high school, senior year, running the 4x1 anchor leg. We needed the win to win league that year. I told you his story. He pulled that hamstring coming around that last curve there. Did he walk off the track? He grabbed that thing, and I still see that picture of him. Still finishing high enough for us to win league that year. Finished. Now, what can I tell you about Steve Timms? Nothing. He quit. What can I tell you about Bo? He became my best man at my wedding. Best man at his wedding. Went to the Air Force Academy, flew missions in Desert Storm, flies commercial airlines today, Air Force aviator, Captain Bo Johnson.
Woo!
I'll still tell his stories. Why? Because he's not quit. Where in your life today is God saying you need to stay? Now, I don't want to make anybody feel bad. Forgetting what lies behind, right? I'm talking today. Maybe there's a relationship. You said, you know what? I don't know about this. Getting tired. You know, she's really being mean to me, right? I'm not telling you to stay in an abusive relationship. No, I won't tell you to do that. But you know, with over 50% divorce rate in the United States, a lot of times we just divorce because she didn't make the toast the way I liked it. Amen? She didn't cheer for my team. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens. There's a lot of betrayal and things are taking place. And so I'm not telling you to stay in an abusive relationship, but maybe God today, you know, you've been in that place in your past. Okay, forget that, but now let's press on. Where are you at right now? God might just be saying, you know what, I want you to hang in there and work through this one. I want you to stay in there. Now, I'm thankful, my dear wife, because I'm not a perfect man. You can say amen to that. I'm not the easiest man to live with. You can say amen to that. Amen. I'm not the best husband. Amen. But she stayed with me for 29 years. I hope we're going to make 30. Amen. She stayed when the times would be easier to go. I stayed when times would have been easier to go. Forget your past. I'm talking today and your future. In our relationship, sometimes we need to do what? Stay. If God's calling you to stay, would it be easier to go? Sometimes it might be in a church. You know, I came to church and somebody upset me. Really? Did you know people get upset in church? Internet people, we're sorry. We're not perfect. We're still sinners. Well, they're still sinners and, okay, I'm still a sinner. And sometimes we don't always meet each other's expectations and sometimes we still hurt one another's feelings. We're sorry. But sometimes you still need to stay and work through it and grow through it and get stronger. Can I get an amen? Now, there are times God's going to call you to go. That's next week. But what does God want you to want? What does He want your story to say to other people? I decided to stay there. Amen? Sometimes it's our relationship with God even. Things happen in life. We get angry at God. There's people that walk away from God. And I don't know if that's you or maybe somebody eventually going to watch this video. Something's gumping to you in life. It happened to you. And you said, God, I just can't take this. I can't stand this anymore. Maybe this morning the Spirit's working in your heart saying, no, you need to come back. You need to stay in there. Because all things will work together for good to those that love God, are called according to His purpose. You don't know how close you are to the finish line sometimes. You don't know how close you are to the blessing. You don't know how close you are to breakthrough sometimes unless you stay. I think the closer we get to victory, the closer we get to breakthrough, the more intense the battle becomes because Satan says, don't you take that last step. And he tells you, you've got 100 more steps. Oh, it's never going to change. It's never going to get any better. It's never going to be any different. That's not Jesus talking. Those are the lies of the world and Satan tells us. Because my Bible says, I can do what? All things through Christ who gives me the strength. My Bible says, I am overwhelmingly conquered through Him who loved us. My Bible says, if I'm in Christ, I'm a new what? Creation. Old things are passing away and I have become new. And I preached the sirens up this morning. Can I get an amen? Might be medical, but it might be somebody made a wrong decision this morning and that just impacted their story. Can I get an amen? Pray your decisions don't involve sirens. Stay when it would have been easier to go. I think of Israel marching around the walls of Jericho. And you get out there and you march around them. Once a day for 6 days. And on the last day, I want you to march around it 7 times. What if day 3 they go, this, nothing's happening. Day 6, right? Day 7, they take 6 laps and they stop. Walls wouldn't have come down. But they stayed with it. They stayed faithful to God's Word. And on day 7, they got up and they marched around the walls and they shouted and the walls came down. They're like, wow, I'm glad we did what? Say it with me. Just like you're saying it to a dog. Try it. Stay. 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 What does God want you to want? Where does He want you to stay? When it's easier to go. I'm going to look at one example here. Just this week, Diana Nida. There she is. Did y'all see this in the news this week? After 35 years, on her fifth attempt, at the age of 64, she finally completed, without a cage, swim from Cuba to Florida. 64 years old. On her fifth attempt. Cost millions of dollars, all right? She finally got it done. And the first thing she did was go to the camera and say, never, ever quit. And I was like, woo! That's good preaching right there. I'm glad I didn't have to swim 115 miles in 53 hours to do that message. I could just stand here this morning on the other side and say, 64 years old, 35 years, fifth attempt. Woo! Way to go, Diana. Amen. She stayed with it. Has become an inspiration to others. So many examples of people that have stayed. I can't tell you about examples of people that quit because the story ends. Let me close with the greatest staying story ever, though. The story of Jesus Christ. And it's in our memory verse. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, open the eyes of my heart, Lord, because they're there. The old prophet prayed for his servant's eyes to be opened. So, there are more for us than there are against us. Oh, therefore, since we are surrounded by a great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside every encumbrance, the weight, and the sin that so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him did what? Endured the cross, the despising of men, and has sat down at the right hand of the glory of God. Consider Him, it says, so that you may not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus stayed and went all the way for you and for me. And there's just that one little scene in the garden. We're like, because He's saying, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. And we're like, whoa, what's happening here? What's going on? You know? And basically he's saying the suffering. If there's another way to do this without this. But then there's that second prayer. And what did he say? Huh? But not my will, but thine be done. There's the prayer. Thine be done. I'll stay with this. If this is your will, I'll stay. Because that's my will. And Jesus said that I'll stay. Go all the way. I will endure the cross. I'll do it for you. You're the joy that's set before me. Because one day you're going to fail. You're going to quit. But that's all right. The Spirit of the Overcomer will come into you and give you life. And give you my Spirit so that you can overcome as well. That's what it means to have the life of Christ and the abundant life. All right? Jesus said, I come to give you life and life abundant. I mean, not just enough, but too much. You will get up every morning and say, my cup runneth over. Even if you just got a crumb and a drop of bread. That didn't work, did it? A crumb and a drop of water. Really bad if it's a drop of bread. Anyway, right? You'll get up with the Apostle Paul and say, I've learned to be content. Oh, to be with Christ, to see Him, to live for Him. It's the greatest pleasure and joy I've ever known. Jesus stayed for you. All the way to the cross. All the way to the resurrection. I don't know if you know it now, but He's still staying with you. He's been chasing you. He's been hanging on to you. He knocks on your little heart's door. And he says, you know, every Sunday morning you're making a decision about what you're going to do with your life, aren't you? Every morning you get up, you're going to make a decision on what you're going to do with your life. When you say, have thine own way, Lord, what an incredible journey life becomes. I didn't say it's easy. But I'll say Jesus will author your story and we will sing your story as an offering to Jesus because of His grace and glory through all of eternity. Jesus will sing it over you. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Paul would say, I've finished the fight, kept the course, I've kept the faith. On the cross, Jesus' final words were, it is finished. Stay. This morning, what does God want you to want? Where does He want you? Started? Stopped. Maybe it was in your past. Maybe it's right now. Maybe it's coming. But there's a place, Holy Spirit, take this message and empower us to stay where you want us to stay, when it would have been easier. Dear Jesus, we come and we do thank you for the examples of faith that you give us. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Lord, so many times we just want to take the easy route, the easy way out. And sometimes the most difficult road, the narrow road, is the one you lead us on. But it's there we find the greatest joy and peace and blessing of all. Firmly plant us, Lord. Today we've decided to stay. And today say, dear Jesus, have thine own way. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Our hymn of decision is that, have thine own way, Lord. If you have any need for prayer, if Jesus has been knocking on your heart and you say, you know what, I just need to open up and let Him come in. Maybe you did it one time, you've kind of strayed. You say, you know what, I want to come back and stay now. I want to stick with this. Maybe you've been looking for a place to place your membership, to enable our voice to become a greater voice in this community and world. Whatever it is, come as we stand and sing together. Have thine own way, Lord.